We're holding on Kuflamet Gimel Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. We started talking about that a father. We've been talking about the last couple of Mishnayos that a father does have the right to disinherit his children, Mishum Matana, according to the Chachamim, even Mishum Yerusha, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha. Our Mishnah had said though that if he writes out giving away his nechosim to others, then Einu Chachamim Noicha Hemenu, the Chachamim are not happy with such a person. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said it depends whether his children were Noig and Keshura, whether they were acting properly, and we had the story of Yosi ben Yezer, which the Gemara had tried to prove one way or the other from it, whether the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel or not. We said that actually the fact is that Shmuel had told Rabbi Yehuda, don't get involved in such things of writing and giving away nechosim from one child to another. Elsewhere, by the way, the Gemara points out that Bechlal, a father, should be careful not to show preference to one child over the other. We see that Yaakov gave the Ksonis Pasim to Yosef, and all kinds of trouble developed from that. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Tana
At
Rabbah."
least his children were other children were good children.
This is also true. Yeah.
But here it's not here, Mishnah says if it's
Okay. So the Gemara says, "Tana Rabbah." Maaseh ba'odem echad shlohei bonav noig and kashura. There was a case with a person like that whose children weren't acting properly. Omad v'kosev nechosev le'yonasan ben Uziel. So he went and wrote out a document giving all of his nechosim to Yonasan ben Uziel. Now, so one way of understanding what was going on over here is basically that he's gonna give them to him. You can use them for whatever you want. I don't intend that you should give it to my children. The guy, he didn't say beferush, but in effect, that's he's giving it to Yonasan ben Uziel with the understanding on the face of it that he's not going to give it to the children.
If you want, you could give it directly to
Because
the
he could have
children.
given it to them directly. Yet. Ma also Yonasan, we'll talk about in a minute how Tosfos and a number of other Rishonim learned the story a little differently. Anyway, Omad v'kosev nechosev the Yonasan, so Omad v'kosev nechosev the Yonasan Menuziel. So he went and wrote out a document that his nechosim are given as a present to Yonasan Menuziel. Ma also Yonasan Menuziel, machar shlish, he sold one third of it. V'hikdish shlish, he was makdish one third of it. Yonasan Menuziel, as we're going to say soon, was a Talmud of Hillel. He lived when the second base of Mikdash was still standing, so he was able to give some of it to Hekdish. The hechzu the bonav shlish, and he returned one third to the children.
So
Now, why would he?
one left,
So
right?
the one third,
Once again.
one third. So he did that, in other words, in order to demonstrate that it's fully his to do whatever he wants with. Like this, the selling and the being makdish was to demonstrate that it's his to decide freely on his own what to do with, and therefore he's entitled to give some of it to the children if he wants.
Why is so? Why not a quarter?
Because it's three parts, one for one to
Yeah,
sell. You didn't.
one part left for himself.
Why should he want to keep anything for himself? He's not interested he's not interested in gaining something at somebody else's expense.
So
The
third,
father
third, and
had
third.
a third, third, and third. Yeah,
That makes a hole. That
that means
makes
a whole. Yeah, three thirds is a whole. So he didn't keep
third is
anything for
one.
himself.
Third
It was
is
33%.
oh, okay,
So
right.
33%
Okay.
to he sold. So okay, the 33% that he sold, I guess you could say maybe he kept the money for that for himself. I don't know. We don't know what he did with that
Nothing
money.
for
Whatever the case,
yeah.
the point was that Rashbam says it was more to demonstrate that he has free rein to do with it whatever he wants. Bo all of Shammai b'makle v'tamiloi. Well, Shammai came to argue with Yonasan ben Uziel with his stick and with his bag, which is an expression meaning, in other words, that he came
Anger.
to argue with, not really angry, but like to argue very strongly against him. How could you do that? The guy specifically didn't want that. That you should give it to his children. How could you override that? In other words, Shammai figures, mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. The father doesn't want it to go to his sons. And you can't say it's a matter of Yerusha, because you can't say it's a matter of Yerusha. The intention was that it should be a pikkudon given to Yonasan ben Uziel, and not that and not that it should go not that it should go to the children. So Omaloi, so Yonasan ben Uziel answers him, Shammai, if you would be able to take away what I sold, or mashe kedashti, and what I was makdish, then yes, you'd be able to take away what I gave to them. But the imlav, but if not, in other words, if you have to agree that I had every right to sell or to be makdish parts of it, Then, then you're also not able to take away what I gave to them because it was fully mine and it's my decision. In other words, the father left it completely in my hand to decide what I can do with it. As the Rashbam phrases it, "Ein matona l'chatzoyim." There's no, you can't say it's a half a gift. If I can't give it to his son, then I myself wouldn't be able to have hanaah from it either, as the Gemara is going to now point out from a story that we learned in Masechta Nedarim. So yeah, so you Shammai have to agree that you Shammai have to agree that the Hekdesh and the Mechira were valid. Well, then in that case, you'd have to agree that the Matana to them was valid as well.
Shammai is not arguing that wasn't a good thing. Shammai is just saying, how can you go give it to the children?
No, because as the Gemara is going to show now, that Shammai was thinking on the basis of a story from Masechta Nedarim, which the Gemara is going to quote now, that the father never intended, since the father never intended for it to go to his children, then maybe Yonason doesn't have the right to do that.
He spelled it out.
He didn't, but that's the implication.
Okay.
Wait.
Yeah.
Okay. So Shammai implicitly agreed. Omar, he answers back like in a joking way. He tiachalai ben ozil. He tiachalai ben ozil. He tiachalai literally means like he threw something at me. Like he threw a valid argument at me. Like he beat me. He's saying it derech brichusa milsa de b'dichusi. Who Rashbam says he's saying it like in a joking way. You know what? Look at that. Ben ozil got the better of me. Usually, by the way, when you call somebody Ben whatever, it's not always meant as a compliment, like we find, for example, when the Jewish people called Moshe Ben Amram. Here, Ben Yehoyada points out the word Uziel, after all, means the strength of Hashem, referring to the Torah. So it refers to that Yonason, with his knowledge, with his deep knowledge of Torah, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, he was able to beat me in this. So it's
he also called him Shammai. He didn't call him.
Well, fine, but that was before they started using titles. This is Gadol Merab and Shmoy. This is that Yonason ben Uzziel himself, the Gemara is going to show soon, was a Talmud of Hillel. He wasn't necessarily a Talmud of Shammai, so it's not like he has to call him. It's not like he has to call him Rebbe or Modi. But the Pashtus, this was at the time before they started widely using the title Rebbe or Rabban, and we say Gadol Merab and Shmoy. Okay. Anyway, this is the Rashbam's understanding of what was going on over here. Tosfos and a number of other Rishonim bring a different explanation, that what happened was the father had actually made a neder that his children are not able to have hana from his nechassim, neither when he's alive nor after he died.
Whoa.
So now what happens? So Shammai figures fakert. When this father gave the nechassim to Yonason ben Uzziel, it wasn't to keep it away from his children. In fact, it was meant as a workaround. It was meant as an end run around that tonight. So according to that way of looking at it, Shammai's problem is not that he gave some of it to the children. Adrabba, Shammai figures the father was to begin with intending to use Yonason ben Uzziel as a go-between to end up getting it to the children. Rather, Shammai is... in other words, here he had made this. We had many such cases in Nedarim, so now the Gemara is going to bring such a case. But we had many. That he felt bad. What he did in Nayan. So now, therefore, so Shammai's objection is that how could you giving it to them, but how does that work? The fact is that there's still a neder over here. And Yonason ben Uzziel explains to him that the difference is that in the case which the Gemara is going to bring now from Beis Choron, it wasn't a Matana Gemara. Here it was a Matana Gemara. I have the right, even under the terms of the Matana, to sell or to give to Hekdesh and whatever, and therefore I have a right to give to them, and it's not infringing on the infringing on the neder. Tosfos also interestingly brings from the Yerushalmi and Nedarim that tells what seems to be a very similar story, but instead of in our Gemara, it's some unknown person, some unnamed person who made this, who did this, and when wanted to take away the nechassim from his children, and Yonason ben Uzziel was the go-between, and Shammai objected. In the Yerushalmi, it actually tells the story that Yonason ben Uzziel himself was the son who his father Uzziel wanted him to not have the nechassim, and he gave it to Shammai.
Oh.
So Tosfos says that actually it might be
opposite.
It might be the same story. But as often happens with stories in Chazal, we sometimes find that the names of the protagonists are switched around.
The only thing with that is that he said over here that he wasn't Kohagan. And we know Uzziel.
We know that Yonason ben Uzziel, of course, was Kohagan, but I suppose it's possible. I suppose, I mean, Tosfos doesn't address that point, but I guess you could say that Yonason were, that still maybe his father didn't realize what he really is. Maybe he thought that maybe he had some reason to think that he's a no good Nick. Maybe, who knows? I don't know.
But he wanted it to work and he was learning.
Okay, anyway, whatever. Okay, anyway. So the Gemara says, "Me'ikra mai sovar." Fine. What was Shammai's svara in the first place that there
Rejected.
would be a problem over here? The Bach brings a different the Rashbam rather has a girsa of who sovar. Shammai himself had thought it amounts to the same thing. But in other words, let's analyze what Shammai was thinking when he first came b'makle over Tamiloi to argue with Yonason and Menazil. So he thought that it's a problem on the basis of the story that happened in Beis Choron. D'tnan, we learn in a Mishnah in Masechet Nedarim. There was a person who had made a neder that his father should not have hana from his nechassim. Now this son was marrying off his own son, and he wanted that his father should be able to come to the wedding, even though he had made this neder. He still wanted to have his father be able to be by the wedding. I mean, we have to ask why he doesn't just go to a chacham and be matir neder. I guess you could say in many of these cases, either there wasn't a chacham available, or you could say that
He wants to keep it, but
he wants the neder to be in effect still, but he wants an exception this time. Yeah, he doesn't have a charota on the whole thing. And yeah, anyway, so he says to somebody else, here, I'm giving you the chotzer where the wedding is going to take place, and the suda itself, all the food, I'm giving you as a present. But he makes it clear, I'm giving it to you solely for the purpose of that that my father should be able to come that the that that should be able to come and eat with us. By the way, actually, as far as the Vahu Sover, actually Rashbam brings an explanation that the Vahu Sover actually goes on Yonason, that but the Rashbam says no, Vahu Sover is referring to Shammai. Why did he think that it was invalid is based on this story. Anyway, so he said, so again,
right.
so the guy in Beis Chorin is saying, I'm giving you all of this only in order that my father should be able to come and eat the Suda with us. The Rashbam brings actually that in Masechta Nedarim, which is where this Mishnah is, then the Gemara explains over there, even if he didn't actually say in so many words, even if he just said, I'm giving it to you and my father should come to the wedding, that also amounts to the same thing because it means that it's clear that he's giving it to him only for that purpose. Anyway, so the friend says, Imshalihin, you know what, if all of those things are mine, then I'm deciding it's mine, I can do with it whatever I want. I'm deciding to give it to Hekdesh. Omaloi, the original guy owner says, what do you mean? Shalish, I didn't give it to you my things in order that you should be makdish
He
it.
gave him a clear reason.
Yeah. Omaloi, so the friend answers back, I see what's going on over here. Loi nasata li eschocha, you know why you're giving me yours? Ela shetei ata v'avicha uchlan v'shoisin, because you want that your father and you are going to eat and drink together, umaratzin zelazen, you're going to get along with one another. V'hei oven toli b'roshoi, and the Avera for breaking the neder is going to be on his head, meaning to say on my head. In other words, you're putting me, you're using me as your go-between to get around your neder. And what is it? Because through me accepting your matana, and it's not a real matana, I'm causing you to be over on your neder. So therefore, I'm gonna be held responsible by the Eibishter for so therefore, so the friend is saying
Okay.
that. No, that's the friend is saying. In other words, that
He's a guy.
you think you can use me to get around your neder, and then I'm going to be in trouble by Hashem for causing you to be over on your neder. No, I'm not going to do that. If you're going to give it to me, then I have every right to do what I want with it. And if that means being makdish, then I can do
He's a
that.
game heads up.
Yeah. Well, Omru Chachamim. Well, the Chachamim said, you know what? The friend has a point. Kol matana she'ena she'imikdisha any matana, which is not of the type that you would be able to be makdish it if you wanted ein matana, then it's not considered a valid matana because he told him clearly that he's giving it to him without intention that he should be able to be makdish it. So now, therefore, so the Rashbam says this fellow who wrote out his nechassim for unison, so Shammai takes the view that this story is similar to the story that is similar to the story in Beis Chorin. He gave it to him on condition that they making it clear that he's doing it not in order to give back to the children. So therefore he's objecting to Yonason. How could you do that? How could you override? In effect, you're acting like the you're in the position of the friend in the story in Beis Chorin, and how could you do that?
Only thing is, here he spelled out lyrically in the song.
So Yonason answers back that the difference is that here actually he gave him bestam, exactly. He didn't spell it out, and it's free. He's free to do whatever he wants with it. And you, Baharaya, I was able to sell one third of it, and I was able to be makdish one third of it, as opposed to in that story of Beis Choron, where he wasn't able to be makdish it. Tosfos again following their shitta that says that and other rishonim who learned that the vote was that actually the guy had made a neder that his children shouldn't have hanah from him, so they and that Shammai thought that the purpose was to give it through Yonason and eventually it would give to his children, so then and Shammai objected, how, why didn't you return all of it? And here, when you return only part of it, you haven't been mekayim what the father wanted. So how can it be considered a valid matana? So Yonason explains to him this is different. That Yonason is in effect explaining to him that this is different than the story of Beis Choron.
The point over here that if the father used him to go around, to go around, he should give him the whole thing to the children.
He could, but he does. He's not required to, because the fact is, it's a complete matana, and Yonason can decide, can make his own decision. In fact, the Rashbam is if he had charata, he would have been matir neder. So we're talking about
he was sick, he couldn't.
Yeah, but nevertheless, the fact is that Yonason is telling him that this is a matana gemura, and therefore it's my decision how much should go to the children, and I evaluate that how much this is. In fact, the reason why did he choose Yonason ben Aziel in the first place, because Yonason ben Aziel was a chosid, he knew that he can trust him to do the right thing, and therefore, yeah. Tosfos also, by the way, discusses over here, and other Rishonim also discuss the point that, wait a minute, what do you mean any matana that you give, that if you mock the shit, it's not a valid hekdesh? What about the concept of matana amanas lahachzir, which we're going to talk about in a couple of days, Bez Hashem? A classic example, every year in Esther, yeah, you give a person matana amanas lahachzir, he can't be mock the shit. So Tosfos says that. So Tosfos actually first answers that, you know what, in principle he could. He could be makdish it and prevent other people from having anah. Eventually it has to be a madnas lahachzir. So you'd have to buy it back from Hekdish if he wanted to fulfill the matana. But nevertheless, in between, he does have the ability to be makdish it, as opposed to in this story in Beis Choron, where to begin with he didn't give it to, he told him that I'm not giving it to you to be makdish. And then Tosfos also brings that, no, it's not so much that, it's not so much that you, it can't be a matana without it being valid hektish, but what we mean is a weak kind of matana like this, where he's specifically giving it to him, I'm a nas that my father should eat, where then that kind of matana then therefore if he can't also be makdish it, then it's not a matana. In fact, the Ran says that that is why the phrasing here was a little unusual. Kol matana she'ena she'im hikdisha mukdeshes. Any matana that is not, that if he can be, that if he was makdish, it would be mukdash. Why such an odd lashon? Kol matana she'ena yochel akdisha eina matana. So the Ran explains, similar to the Ri's explanation in Tosfos, that that's the point. The Gemara is saying, of course it's possible to do a matana without the ability to be makdish it. For example, matana amanas lahachzir. But when we're talking about a matana like this, which is clearly a harama, you're clearly doing it as an end run around a neder, and the guy doesn't have the ability to be makdish it, as in the story of Beis Choron, so then ain't a matana. So here, Shammai thought that this is the same kind of thing, and he realizes after discussing it with Yonason ben Aziel that it's not so.
It's no problem. After Sukkot is over, he gets it back. Hegdash, he gives it back.
So that's the thing. According to Tosfos' first answer, it's not a problem because he could have it as matana amanas lahachzir, be makdish it, buy it back from Hekdash and return it. But according to the second answer in Tosfos, we don't even need that. There's a difference between matana amanas lahachzir, where you are giving it to him as a full-fledged matana without any preconditions. But you just expect to get it back afterwards. Where there you haven't told him that he can't be makdish it. So therefore, it doesn't matter whether he could or not. Whereas over here, to begin with, you made it clear, the guy from Beis Choron made it clear that I'm giving this to you only in order that my father should be able to come and eat with us. And that's such a weak kind of matana, where it's clearly a harama, where therefore he has to at least leave open the possibility that the guy would also be makdish it. And if not, then it's not considered a matana at all.
So that wouldn't work.
So that's the thing. In Beis Choron, it didn't work. So now Shammai thought that this is the same kind of situation over here, and he realizes after discussing with Yonason ben Aziel that it's not so. So the Gemara, now that we mentioned Yonason ben Aziel, so the Gemara digresses to talk about him and the other Talmidim of Hillel. Tanan Rabbanan, Shmoinim Talmidim Hoyle Lehillel Azokin. Hillel HaZakan had 80 Talmidim. Now, he probably had thousands of Talmidim. What we mean is, he had 80, no, not you're thinking of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had his 24,000 Talmidim, who passed away, and then he had five. Hillel HaZakan was saying he had 80. What we mean is 80 primary Talmidim. Obviously, he had the whole Jewish people learned from him, but we're talking about like his top Talmidim, who were constantly learning by him. There were 80 of them. Shloshim mehem ru'uyim shetishra alein shchina k'moshe Rabbeinu. Eight of them were worthy that the shchina should rest on them like Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, the Maharshal actually takes out the words k'moshe Rabbeinu, because what do you mean? Nobody had a caliber of nevuah like kom navi b'yisrael k'moshe. Maharshal, though, says the fact is the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that at one point when Hillel was sitting with the other Zkenim, then a Baskel came and said, there's somebody over here who deserves to have the Shekhinah rest on him like Moshe Rabbeinu, but his dirt is not worthy. And the Chachamim gave a look at Hillel, realizing that that's who the Baskel is referring to. So these 30 Talmidim were of that caliber as well. They're worthy that the Shekhinah should rest on them on such a high level, but they're not going to actually have it, so therefore it doesn't violate like Kom B'Yisroel K'moshe, but they're worthy, they're of the caliber that they could have that.
So he'll tell me them or you on all your
This is we're saying Hillel's Talmidim, but the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Hillel himself one time was sitting with a bunch of the other Chachamim at a Suda, and a Baskel said, there's one person among you who deserves to have the Shekhinah rest on him, like Moshe Rabbeinu, but his daughter is not worthy of it. And the Chachamim all looked over at Hillel, realizing that that's who the Baskel is referring
say
to.
30.
So now we're saying of the Talmidim, 30 of them were like their Rebbe in that regard, and they also were worthy of having the Shekhinah rest on them, like Moshe. Another 30 are of the caliber where they deserve to have the sun stand still for them, like it did for Yeshua. Now, Rashbam points out the sun stood still for Moshe Rabbeinu as well. We don't have it befeirush in the Psukim, but the Gemara in Avodah Zarah learns from Psukim that but with Yeshua, we know there was the war, one of the wars against the Canaanim, and he told the sun and moon to stand still, and they did. By Moshe, it says the same thing happened by the war with Sichon, or there's different versions, whether it was the war with Sichon or with Og. Because the Pasuk says that the Pasuk says that Hashem says, I'll make you so great that everybody under the heavens will know how great you are. And that refers to stopping the sun and moon, where everybody who was under the heavens, everybody in the entire world, could see what's going on.
That was right,
So Rashi brings it on the Pasuk. It comes from a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Anyway, so the Rashbam points out over here, so why is the Gemara saying that they could have it stand still for them like Yeshua rather than like Moshe? The reason is because we're saying, no, because the fact because they're not of the caliber of Moshe, they're on a lower level, so therefore we compare them to Yeshua. So Maharshal says, in other words, the same way we had earlier in the Masechta, Pnei Moshe k'pnei Chama, Pnei Yeshua k'pnei Levana. Moshe's face was like the sun, Yeshua's is like the moon. So now we're saying the top 30 Talmidim are of the caliber of Moshe Rabbeinu, similar to their Rebbe Hillel. The next 30 are on a lower level, they're to Hillel like Yeshua was to Moshe, and therefore the Gemara compares them to Yeshua. Estrim Beninim, and then there were 20 who were average. Average, obviously,
Beinu of Tanya.
not just Beinonim of Tanya, but in other words, average in like they're like they're less special. They're great Talmidim, but like I'm compared to the other ones, yeah.
For the ones from the Beinu of Tanya, is almost a tzaddik.
Yeah, this is also true.
It's not.
Gadol Shebekulon Yonasan ben Uzziel. The greatest of them was Yonasan ben Uzziel. Now, the greatest of them could mean among all 80 of them, although Rabbeinu Gershom says over here it means among the 20 Beinonim.
Why was
So yeah, that's how he learns. So Godo Shabakulan, Yonis and Menazio, Cotton Shabakulan, Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai, the least important of all of them, meaning again of all 80 or maybe of the 20 Beinonim, is Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai. Now let's understand how great Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai was. Omru Olival Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai, Shalohi Niach. He did not leave unstudied Mikra, everything in Tanakh. Mishnah, the Mishnayos, and the Mishnayos, of course, hadn't been composed in their final form as they are now, but they already had a form of Mishnayos. In fact, the Gemara in Chagiga tells us they had hundreds of Siddurim of Mishnayos during that time. So he learned all of that. Or the Mishnayos are the basic halachas, Gemara, and the Svaris to understand the underlying reasons and where and then the underlying reasons behind the Mishnayos, where the Gemara always says Loi Shanu. This Mishnah is talking about only in this scenario, so he knew all that kind of thing. Halachas, the halachas, the Moshe Mitzrayim, he knew all of them. The agados and the agadah, all the midrashim of psukim. The Rashbam gives examples, for example, Medrash Tanchuma, Bereishis Rabba, Vayikra Rabba. It's interesting, by the way, that he mentions only Bereishis and Vayikra Rabba, because you actually have Medrash Rabba on all five Chumashim, but it seems from various bits of evidence that some of them were composed much later. The ones on Bereishis Rabba and Vayikra, the ones on Bereishis and Vayikra are fairly early Midrashim. The other ones were compiled much later.
Who wrote the Mishnah? He was.
Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi compiled the Mishnayos. He was generations after Rabbi Yechon Zakeh. But we're saying even before that, they
Something.
already had something of the
Nope.
Mishnayos. They had not so much. Not, well, besides the fact that it was Baal Peh, the point is, in other words, there
Oh,
were there
yeah.
was the yeah, it was all
Oh.
before it was written. But
Yeah.
besides that, also, it wasn't necessarily compiled into an absolutely fixed text. Every person would learn it in his own style. What they had, the basic halachas that eventually became or that eventually became the Mishnayos. Anyway, so that's halachas va'agadas, dikduke Torah. All the details, all the little fine details in the Torah, the Rashbam gives an example. We have a vav in the word vizela chematame, from which we learn a din. We learn from that the same way as a dead sheretz is metame, that blood from a dead sheretz is metame as well. Where otherwise we wouldn't have known that. We learn that from the vav of the word vizeh. So you have a diuk over there. You have one little detail over there in the Torah, one single letter, and you learn an entire din from that. So that kind of thing throughout the Torah, Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai knew all of those. Elsewhere, this Gemara is also in Sukkah. Rashi brings over there other kinds of things like that. For example, that yeah, other things of letters. For example, where the Torah says about Sukkah that ha-ezrach, the native born Yid and the ger has to sit in the Sukkah, and we learn from the word ha-ezrach, as the Gemara explains there in Sukkah, that women are potter from the Sukkah. So that's another example where from one letter or one phrase in the Torah we learn an entire din. So Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai knew all of those. The dikduke sofrim and all the details of the sofrim, meaning the chachamim, so all the gzeiros that the chachamim made so that we don't come to isurei Torah.
That was also not later on.
Some of them were made later, of course, but many of them had already been made by that time. For example, we just learned in Ein Yaakov yesterday, actually, for example, that Shlomo HaMelech made the gzeira of shnius, that you're not allowed to marry certain further out relatives that would have been mutter al pi Torah, but the Chachamim answered them as a siog la Torah. We have, for example, that was Shlomo HaMelech. He also was misaken the concept of Eruvin and the concept of Netilas Yadayim before you eat. And then there were various other gzeiros and takanos, many of them made by the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah. So yeah, many of the gzeiros and takanos of the Chachamim had already been made by the time of Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai. Yes, there were others that were made later on as well. But yeah. Anyway, so all of those. So all of those, v'kalin v'chamurin, all the kal v'chomers in the Torah, ugzeiros shavas, and all the gzeiros shavas in the Torah. The difference being, of course, a kal v'chomer a person can come up with on his own. A gzeira shava he has to have a kabbalah from his rebbeim. Now, not now. This is all things within Torah itself. Then he knew things that are sort of outside, not really outside, but like that are ancillary to Torah, that are not the primary parts of the Torah. The kind of things that the Gemara and that the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos calls parpurois l'chochma. They're like desserts and like condiments to chochma. So they include tkufis. He was familiar with all the tkufis, the details of the molad of the molad of the Levana. The Kodesh HaKodesh, all the details of that, right? The gematrios. Gematrios doesn't just mean what we think of as gematria, as the numerical values. In Gemara terminology, gematria can also mean initials. So the Rashbam says, for example, the fact that we say that Anochi stands for Anon Nafshi Ksavas Yehovis, that Hashem says, I wrote and gave my own soul, so to speak, my own self into the Torah, that's an example of gematria. So he knew those kinds of things and other examples like that, where throughout Shas and in other places where we find that where we can learn things from that, from initials and things like that. Rashi in Sukkah gives other examples. We have, for example, there are various things that we have a word written in Tanakh and we darshan it using Atbash or other such codes like that. For example, there's places in Sefer Yirmiyah where it refers to Bavel as Sheshach, because the bays of Bavel becomes a shin in Atbash, the lamed becomes a chof. So he knew all those kinds of things.
Well, what makes a chafalamet?
Because if you count in the Aleph base, Chof is the 11th letter, Lamed is the 11th letter from the end.
Oh,
That's how Atbash works. The
works.
first letter paired up with the last letter, second letter with the second to last, etc. That's how Atbash works. So the Beis, the second letter, becomes Shin, the next to last letter, and the Chof becomes Lamed. So there's other examples of that, but the, and there's and there's examples that, so there's examples of that right there openly in Tanakh, and there's other examples that the Gemara darshins here and there. So that's another meaning of gematrios. Umasholis, he also knew all of the analogies and parables involving laundrymen. A laundryman we find throughout Shas is like a very low level person, but sometimes you have a moshul can help you understand something in Torah more clearly. So he knew all those mishalim that can be used to illuminate ideas in Torah. There's a famous idea, for example, that's brought in Chassidus. It says about Shlomo HaMelech, Vaydabash Shloshes Alofim Moshul. He spoke 3,000 mishalim. So there's an explanation in Chassidus what it means. So the different Mefoshim have, of course, many different explanations why Dafka 3,000. But in Chassidus, there's a very interesting idea that it means Shlomo was so far above everybody else. If he wants to teach something in Torah, so fine, he'd give a moshul to explain what he wants to teach. But not everybody is going to be able to understand that moshul. So you'd have to give a moshul of the moshul. Then you'd have to give a moshul of the moshul of the mashal to reach the even lower people, to get all the way down to the lowest level yid, he would have to do a chain of 3,000 mashalim, and then by understanding the last one, you'll be able to understand the next, the last one, and then work your way up from there.
Maybe the king, and he was doing shiurim.
Yeah, he was teaching Torah to the people. That's part of the job of a king. Yeah. Anyway, so here we're saying Rabbi Yechon and Zaka. So we're not saying 3,000 mishalim, but the point is he knew all these kinds of mishalim involving even simple people like laundryman that we can use to help us understand ideas in Torah. Umasholis shu'olim, and all the analogies, all the mishalim involving foxes, where we find, for example, the Gemara and Sanhedrin, and a couple of examples of them. Sichas shadim, the speech of the shadim, which means that Ashbam says, for example, to know how to beswear them. For example, he wants to make a kameya. Somebody is sick and needs a cure, and he's going to write a kameya for him. He needs to know what to write in it. He needs to know what phrase, what names and phrases and whatnot to say to the shadim to get them to leave the guy alone. So he knew
the
all that.
The ones that are giving him trouble.
Yeah, the shadim are the half person, half malach. Yeah, and they're the ones who cause trouble. Yeah. The sichas dikolim, and he also knew the speech of palm trees. Now, what does that mean? Rashi in Sukkah says, I don't know what that means. The Rashbam says that it means people talk about the trees, and we find by Shlomo also by Dabra al Eitzim, he was able to teach people about inyonim involving trees. So Rabbi Yechon Zakkai knew that kind of thing. Reb Shrita Goin brings in one of his Shilos Atrubis, he brings a very interesting thing. It means actually that there are people who know how to on a quiet day when there's only a little bit of wind and the trees rustle from the wind. Certain people are able to understand from that what the trees are actually speaking. And he said there was one of the Rosh Yeshiva in Bavel about 150 years before his time had that ability, named Reb Avraham Kabasi, had that ability. He had that ability, like Rabbi Yechonon Zakkai, to be able to understand the sichas dikolim, what the trees are saying when the wind is rustling in their leaves.
We need rain.
Yeah. So that's sichas dikolim. The sichas malach hasharis, and the speech of the malachim, which again the Rashbam says in order to beswear them when necessary. So he knew all of that. The Dover Godol, the Dover Kotten. Rabbi Yechonon Zakkai knew the great matters and the small matters. So what does that mean? Dover Godol Maisim Erkava. The Dover Godol refers to the Maisim Erkava. In Yechezkel, where you have the whole description of Hashem's Merkava and the Chayas and the Ifanim and all that deep ideas in Kabbalah. So he knew all of that. V'davar katan, what about the small thing, means havayas abaya v'rava, means all the discussions and analyses of abaya and rava. Now abaya and rava, of course, are long after his time, but in other words, the point is, he knew everything that they're going to discuss, and then the contradictions between the Shnayas and Braises and things like that. And he knew that. So now, later on, Mephoshim explained, those things later on were forgotten, and that's why abaya and rava had to bring up these points again. Remember, Torah Shebaal Peh was still Baal Peh then. So that, but already in his time, Rabbi Yechonon Zakkai knew all those concepts.
And all these things are not going to get.
This is all Rabbi Yechonon Zakkai, and all Baal Peh too. What do we mean? How could we call Havayas Abaye v'Rava Dover Katan? So there's actually explanations. The Rashba and the Ritva have explanations, have long explanations about it in Masechta Sukkah. The Rashba says you shouldn't think there are some people, he says, in his time who thought, if the Gemara is calling Abaye v'Rava Dover Katan, it means that learning Nigla is not so important. Chas v'Shalom. He says absolutely not. That's not what the Gemara means. What it means is they're much more important than anything else. They're much more important than all the sciences and philosophies and whatnot that people might be involved in. We're saying relative to Maisim Erkava, which researches the secrets behind why did the Eibishter to give us such and such a mitzvah, then relative to that, habayis v'davayi v'rova, which are going to work out the details of the mitzvah, are davar katan. But not that you should think chas v'shalom that they're unimportant. And the Ritva says another point as well. Since we're saying that eventually these points were raised by Abaya and Rava, now why do they have to do that? Because they couldn't understand what the earlier chachamim had said, and therefore they have to analyze and ask questions and give answers or whatever in order to get at the truth. So therefore, it's called davar katan in the sense it came about only because of the katan of samoichin, only because people in later the chachamim in later times weren't as great as the earlier ones, and therefore they had to delve into what they said and try to understand it. Either way, the point is that we certainly don't say that that we should call any that we should call something in Torah relative to any other relative to any gashmiistic thing. Davar katan, absolutely not. They both stress that point.
Any initials there? It means the Lubavitchers or
the Lubavitcher? I don't know what you mean.
In the Masechus Sukkah, are they referring to the Lubavitchers or saying Nigel is not that important?
They lived long before. They lived long before Chassidus. But yeah, never mind. Okay, done.
Okay.
Anyway. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Lekayim mashenema. This fulfills like what the pasuk says. Lahanchil oyav yesh. Hashem says, I will give as an inheritance to those who love me. Yesh means a substance, and also the last mission in Uktzin says that yesh means shin yud olamus, 310 worlds. And I will fill up their treasuries, meaning Rashbam says, why? Because their treasuries are full of Torah and Chochmah, because they worked hard, like Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, to master all of these things. Therefore, Hashem says, I'm going to give them tremendous reward. So not just Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, but all of these Talmidim as well. Well, if the least of Hillel's Talmidim or of the 20 Beninim Talmidim is so great, imagine how great Yonasan ben Uzziel was, the greatest of all of them, or even if we say like Rabbeinu Gershom, that it means among the 20, then imagine how the other 60 were. Omru all about Yonas and Menuziel. So they said about Yonas and Menuziel, when he was sitting and studying Torah, any bird that would fly overhead over him, Nisraf, would be burnt from the energy of the Torah that he's learning, and particularly Tosfos brings in Sukkah, because there would be Malachim surrounding him, Malachim of fire surrounding him and listening in when he's learning Torah, and their fire would burn up that bird.
The Malachim came down Lamata.
So Malachim would come down Lamata to listen to what Yonasan ben Uzziel is learning Torah, and then the heat from them would burn any bird that flew overhead.
So this thing with the birds, is that bird we learned it elsewhere also?
And it's brought in Masech Tesukah. But the Ritva brings from the Yerushalmi, actually. So the question is, now what about Hillel then? How great, can you imagine how great Hillel was? And so the Yerushalmi says, yes, in fact, the difference is that Yonasan ben Uzziel, the bird would get burnt if it flew within four amas of him. Hillel was so much greater, the Rebbe, that even a bird beyond the four amas would get burnt up by the heat of it. With that said, there's a chassidish avort on it that Hillel knew how to control and hold in the tremendous amount of outpouring of ruchnius that comes from him when he's learning, so that it wouldn't affect the birds around him. There's such a avort.
Birds to keep away.
Yeah. Anyway. So this gives us an idea of the caliber of the chachamim we're talking about over here, that it's far beyond anything that we can imagine. Mishnah says. A famous avort that the Rabbeim said, by the way, that you see the difference in this Gemara between a chosid and then somebody who doesn't have the right approach to learning, where a chosid learns this and is overawed by the kedusha that came from Yonas and ben Uzziel, whereas you have a certain other kind of person might start clearing. Well, if a bird flies over him, is he chayav v'nizokin and so forth, like missing the whole point that it's meant to make us realize the tremendous kedusha that can be by a person who learns Torah l'shma. Yeah. Okay. Mishnah says, Ha'oimer Zevni, a person says, this is my son, Naaman, then we believe him. So this is a person we didn't know before that this person is his son. So he says, this is my son, Naaman, so he's believed, as far as we'll see in the Gemara,
during Tishrei.
No,
we had this little thing about him saying, this is my son, or this is my, oh, he's a guy, and he's my Bechor.
That's something else. That's, we said he has the ability to say, this is my Bechor. That's what we're going to talk about. We talked about that then. He was saying, and more generally, to say, this is my son. So Naaman is believed for purposes that we'll learn in the Gemara. Ze'ochi, but if he says, this is my brother, which would be relevant as far as, Yerusha and other things like that, Einan Naaman, then, or no, Ze'ochi, a person says, yeah, this is my brother, about somebody we don't know, Einan Naaman, we don't don't believe him insofar as that he should get a portion together with the other brothers. Because as the Gemara is going to explain, the other brothers disagree and say, this is not our brother. So you have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, let's say. Now a fellow comes along, Yehuda, and Reuven says, you should know this, Yehuda is also a brother of ours. And Shimon and Levi say, I don't know what you're talking about. He's not
the
a brother.
father says it,
The brother, one of the brothers, Reuven, says,
pulls him in and says he's.
pulls him in and says he's our brother. So Eina Neman, the Yitil Ime, but since Reuven is saying that he's our brother, so he gets a portion within his chela. So say, for example, the Rashbam says, let's say there were two children originally. There's Reuven and Shimon, let's say. We have three fields over here. So aside from the matter of the Bechor, let's leave out Bechorah for the time being and say each of them would get 1.5 fields, because there are two of them split up 3 fields. Now one of them is saying, Reuven is saying, Levi is also our brother. Well, then fine. So he gets a half a field. So in other words, because Reuven is saying in effect, there are three of us. Well, if there are three of us, then each of us should be getting 1 field, because there were 3 fields. Because Shimon and Levi disagree, so therefore, so we're gonna take part of what Reuven got, and we're gonna give it to Levi. So
Levi's the third brother, right?
Levi being this third person
The prophet says
that
it's not
Reuven
a
is
brother.
saying is their brother, right? So he's saying, so you really would have, so what it is by rights, you are our brother. You should really be getting one of the 3 fields. So half of what you should get, I'll give you. As far as the other, my brothers have the rest of it. You go and prove to them that you're our brother, and then you'll get the rest of your nachla from them. Which we'll work out in the Gemara in more detail what's going on over here. Mess, what happens if this Suffolk dies, if this Levi in our scenario dies, then the Nechosim go back to their place.
Have to put
Meaning,
their
in other
own
words,
in.
they're the one who gave it to him. So the other brothers don't get part of the Yerusha, because Reuven can tell them, look, all this time you were saying this guy is not our brother, you shouldn't be entitled now to take any part of what
I
a,
gave it
of
to him,
a,
I can
yeah,
give it.
yeah. Well, it means also, in other words, even Nechosim that he got afterwards.
Right.
And well, actually, no, that's something else. So Nofla the Nechosim and Makam Acher. On the other hand, if he gets Nechosim from someplace else, for example, Yerusha, Yushu Echav Imai, then his brothers do inherit that with him, because and then his brothers do inherit that with him, as we're going to explain in the in as the as we're going to explain in the Gemara. He's telling them, I'm your brother. But they denied that, but we're going to see in the Gemara, we'll work out in the Gemara why it is in that case that they should be entitled to Yavshin him with these other Nechosim.
Okay, I'll be patient.
Okay. Yeah. So the Gemara starts off. When we say Zebni Neman, when we're saying that if he says Zebni, then we believe him, Lamai Hilchsa, what halacha is that relevant to?
I think we're saying Zebni, it sounds like the father saying it, not.
There's two different cases in the Mishnah. One where the father is saying Zebni, and one where one of the brothers is saying Ze'och.
Oh.
So Zebni Neman, Lamai Hilchsa, what halacha is that relevant to? Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Le Yoshe, first of all, as far as Yavshining him, where the father is saying, this is my son, and therefore he should be entitled to a share of the Yerusha. The lifter is Ishtem in a Yibum, and also that it means that since he's my son,
Oh.
the father is dying, and he doesn't have any known children, otherwise his wife would need Yibum. Now he's saying, this guy is my son, and therefore his wife is Potter from Yibum, and therefore my wife is Potter from Yibum.
Yeah, but it could be two different wives, right?
Doesn't matter. No. No. One, if the father has any children, has any surviving children or descendants,
A
then
different
there's
wife.
no, it doesn't matter which
Even the
wife,
fourth.
then it doesn't matter which wife, then any, or even without a wife at all, even if he was Mizana with a woman, for example, and had children with her, as long as she's not a goita or a shifcha. If it was a goita or a shifcha, her children are not considered his, la halacha, so therefore, yeah. But other
So
than that,
once he has
once he has a child who's a
married them.
Jew, doesn't matter who has, once he has a child who's a Jew, even a mamzer, then yes, is all his wives are potter from chalitza and yibum, yeah. So the Gemara asks, Liyoshe Pshita. Now you're saying that as far as that he says, this is my son, insofar as now this one can Yavshin him, isn't that poshut? Because he could give him as a matana. He could always say, I want to give him as a matana. So there, in effect, he has a migui. In other words, he could say, I'm giving you, I have the ability to give it to you as a matana. Therefore, migui, that I could do that, then you should believe also that he's my son. Now, the Rashbam points out, what about as far as Nechosim that he's going to get later on? You could say maybe there's a chiddush in that, because here he doesn't have a nigger with that. Nevertheless, the Rashbam says, We learned earlier about the Bechor that we said that so the same way as we said by Chelek Bechorah is that the father was believed Yakir. We believe him to say that that this is a Bechor, and that works even for Nechosim that come later on. The same way over here. So the Rashbam says when it comes to somebody who we knew was his son and we didn't know whether he was a Bechor, then we say Yakir tells us that it would work even for Nechosim that came afterwards.
Well, but actually, afterwards it doesn't work even for
Bechor. In other words, once we have somebody, earlier on Daf Kuf Chof Zayin, you were mentioning that we learned a week ago that we have a case where this person is known to be his son, but we didn't know him to be a Bechor. Now. So he's definitely getting a chelik of the Yerusha, no question. The question is whether he's getting a chelik b'chorda. The posik yakir, the word yakir in the posik comes to tell us that he does get the chelik b'chorda on the fact that his father said so, and that will apply even to nechosim that the father gets after he makes that declaration. So the father in Tishrei declared Zebni b'chor, and then in Cheshvan he buys more property, and in Kislev he dies. Then this bechor that this person he said is a bechor, this child he said is a bechor, is going to get a double portion of the nechassim he got in Cheshvan as well. Wait.
Okay.
The point is here, though, we're talking about somebody that Rashbam says we never even knew that he was his son in the first place. So now he's coming and saying he's my son. So this nigri that we're talking about will in fact work only for nechassim that he had until now. So in this scenario, the father says in Tishrei, he's my son. In Cheshvan, he bought Nechosim. In Kislev, he died. We would not say that the son is entitled to a portion of those Nechosim from Cheshvan, because the Migri can only work as far as Nechosim that the father had before he made that declaration in Tishrei. So therefore, the Gemara is asking, as far as the Nechosim that the father has so far, Pshita, he could give them as a Matana, because he would have had the ability to give it as a Matana already. And as far as any Nechosim that come later on, he doesn't have the ability by saying Zebni to give it to cause him to Yarshin in any way. So because he doesn't have them yet. So therefore,
comes later, why doesn't get it?
Because we don't have the Migri. How do we know that what he's saying is correct, that this is in fact his son? You're saying because he has a Migri because he could give it to him as a Matana, but he can't give him Matana, something that he hasn't known yet. That's how the Rashbam learns. That's how the Rashbam learns. And actually we learned previously that the Rashbam had brought earlier on Kuf Chav Zayin on the Beis that the father does have an absolute right to say this is my child and so forth. And one answer is that we talked over there was a difference between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. How far does the din of Yakir extend? So there we were talking about according to Rabbi Yehuda, where he has broad rights to say this is my son, whereas here we're talking according to the Chachamim. That was one answer. Anyway, there are Rishonim who learn that in fact the question is, the Rashba points out it's not so poshut, because we're saying he's not believed as far as Nechosim that come afterwards. And anyway, also you have that Gemara earlier. So he explains, sure, the father is believed to say Zebni, that the father will Yarshin even the Nechosim that came later. The Gemara, the question Pshita is that the question is the fact is there's nothing contradicting the fact that this is his son. When you have the case that we talked about earlier about Zebni Bechori, is the other brothers are disagreeing and saying this is not the Bechor. Here we're not talking about, the Rashba says, we're not talking about that anybody is contradicting the father on saying Zebni. So the Gemara is asking, it's poshut that in that case, yes, he could give him matana, and he could, and then there's nothing preventing this son from having the Yerusha. So the answer is lifter. You're right. There's no chiddush in that. The Mishnah just mentioned it. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel had mentioned that incidentally. The real nafkamina is lifter is ishte min yibul, that the father is believed, even to the extent that now as a result of this, his wife is going to be potter from yibum. Even though again, we didn't know beforehand that this guy is his son. So you would think that maybe she needs chalitza. So the Gemara says, Honami Tanena. We also don't need Shmuel to be telling us that. This also, we have a Mishnah in Masechta Kiddushin, Misha Omer Bashas Misosa Yeshli Bonim. Person who says before he dies, I have sons, Nemon, then we believe him, and his wife doesn't need Yibum or Chalitza. Yeshli Achim, but if he says I have brothers, and therefore, since I don't have any children, my wife is going to need Chalitza or Yibum, Eina Nemon, then we don't believe him to ask her to marry anybody else for reasons that the Gemara is going to explain in the next couple of lines. So therefore, so again, why would the Tanna have to mention in our Mishnah the concept that Naaman, and why does Shmuel have to explain Lepotrim if we can see that from that Mishnah in Kiddushin? The answer is Hosam Deloy Muchsakon Ba'och. The difference is the Mishnah in Kiddushin is we didn't know whether he has any brothers yet. So now he's telling us he has brothers, and therefore he's changing her chazaka. Till now she had a chazaka. She's not going to need Yibum because there's no brothers. Now he's telling us that he has brothers, which is going to change her chazaka, and he doesn't have the ability to do that. Here we're talking about afagav de muchsak le ba'och, even where we know already that he has brothers. So in other words, the Rashbam says in that case, it's kind of a sfek sfeika. Maybe he doesn't have any sons, and maybe even if he does, he doesn't have any brothers, and in that case, there's nobody to do yibum anyway. The Rashbam goes on and discusses in a little detail, compares this with the Gemara in Kedushin on the subject. Anyway, here we're talking about, even though we know already that he has brothers, so now when he says Zebni, which is going to change that chazaka and say, till now we said he has brothers, and there, till now we knew he had brothers, meaning there was going to be candidates for Yibum. Now all of a sudden he's coming and telling us, Zebni, this is my son, meaning never mind those brothers, my wife is Potter from Yibum. Then we're saying that nevertheless, the Mishnah is saying that he has a Migri. When that Migri counteracts the chazaka.
What's the Migri?
What is the Migri? That's the Gemara is going to explain. So Omer of Yosef, Omer of Yehuda, Omer Shmuel, Mifnei Ma Omru Zebni Naaman. Why indeed does that work? And it patters his wife from Yibum. Hoyul Baal Shalma Girashti Es Ishti Naaman. The reason is because if the husband says I divorced my wife, and that's another reason she'd be potter from Yibum, we would believe him because he has a migri, because he could conceivably divorce her right now. So therefore, the same thing when he says Zebni, then he has a migri.
He's saying the migri is that because I
the migri is that he could say that he divorced her, and in turn,
the current wife.
So in other words, he's saying that that my wife should be potter from Yibum. Why? Because I have a son, but he has a migri. He could have said, I divorced her. And in turn, we would believe him to say, I divorced her, because he would have the ability to divorce her right now. However, Omer Rabbi Yosef, but Rabbi Yosef himself, after having said this later on, Morei d'Avraham, master of Avraham, Rebbeinu Shloim, Toli Tanya b'Deloi Tanya. How could we make something that says in a Mishnah depend on something that does not say in a Mishnah or a Braisa? Now, Rashbam explains, as we know throughout Shas, at one point Rabbi Yosef became very sick and forgot a lot of his learning. So now he's relearning something that he had learned and taught many years ago, and he's wondering about it and thinking, "What was I thinking, man? I can't understand the svara. I can't understand the svara behind what I myself said." How could you say, why is it that Zebni Naaman, that it says in our Mishnah, is because he's believed to say that he divorced her? It never says anywhere in a Mishnah or a Braisa that he's believed to divorce her. So what is it? So how do you say something like that? So Ella, so rather Rabbi Yosef realizes, rather if it was said, what Rabbi Yehuda told me must have been like this. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shmuel, Mifnei Ma Omru Zebni Naaman. Why is it that if he says that this is my son, we believe him? Not because we believe him that he did divorce her. Hoyul of Yodei LaGarisha, because he has the ability right now to divorce her, and therefore, so that's the migri. So it's not really a two-step migri. It's rather just one thing. All it is he has the ability at any time to divorce her before Chenum de Ben Gershom. At least he could divorce her without her consent. So therefore, now when he says I didn't divorce her, but I have a son, and therefore it's not necessary, and therefore Yibum is not going to be necessary or even allowed, then we can believe him. Tosfos points out, actually, it's not strictly speaking. I mean,
her wife in favor, also.
Right? Well, obviously, but the fact is, if he divorced her, she'd be possible to marry a Kohen. Nevertheless, though, it's still a good enough migri to pater her from Yibum.
85% of people are not Kayan.
No, that's right. Okay. On the other hand, the author of Yitzchok by Yosef, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, when Rabbi Yitzchok by Yosef came from Eretz Yisrael, he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, no, it's not so. Well, Rabbi Yosef says, now that we say, you know what, he does have the ability to divorce her. In that case, so now on the basis of that, you're right. So now also, if he says, I did divorce her, we should also believe him. So in other words, Rabbi Yosef basically is saying, logically, we have to flip around the two parts in the migri over there. Before we said, we can believe him that this is my son. Why? Because we believe him to say that he divorced her. And in turn, why do we believe him that he divorced her? We believe in Rabbi Yosef's original statement of what Rabbi Yehuda had said. It was, we believe him to say, this is my son, and therefore my wife is potter from Yibum. Why? Because he has the ability to say that I divorced her. Why does he have the ability to say I divorced her? Because he could divorce her now.
Oh.
Now Rabbi Yosef is flipping it around. He can say this is my son because he has the ability to divorce her right now. Therefore, we can also have a further migrate on top of that, a hoyo that says, because he has the ability to divorce her anytime he wants, therefore, even if he says, I divorced her previously, we would also believe him. But now, ki osir of Yitzchak by Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, when Rabbi Yitzchak by Yosef came from Eretz Yisrael, he said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, no, Baal Shama Gerashti es Ishti Eina Neman. If he says, I divorced my wife previously, then we don't believe her. Because if he divorced her, there would be a coil about it.
Okay.
So therefore, the fact that there's no coil...
You get to be witness something.
Yeah, so the fact that there's no coil amounts to as if there were no, as if there were Edom that he didn't divorce her. And you can't say a migri against Edom.
How about Yosemdinsiyam?
Still, there would have been a coil. There would have been something. There would be some kind of... yeah. So, Menatech Rav Sheshes B'yodeh. So Rav Sheshes like made a motion like blowing on his hand, like there it goes, as if like a person has like a piece of straw or something on his hand, and he blows, and there it goes. He says, "Oh, the light hoiled Rabbi Yosef." Well, then there goes Rabbi Yosef's hoil. Rabbi Yosef was basing himself and saying a person could be believed to say that he divorced her because hoil of a yod of a garisha. Now that Rabbi Yochanan is telling us that you don't say that you don't because he has a migri, because he could say because he could because he or rather that Rabbi Yosef had said because he said why do we believe him to say gerashti es ishti, because he has the ability to divorce her now, but now Rabbi Yochanan is telling us he doesn't have the ability to say gerashti because there would have been a coil. Well, then there goes Rabbi Yosef's oil. So now Shmuel's hoyle will still be valid. So we can still say that if he says Zebni, we believe him because Biyodi Lagarsha, he has the ability to divorce her now. But to extend that, therefore, if he says that in the past I divorced her, to believe him, then no, we can't really say that. So the Gemara says, "Any, is that so? Did Rabbi Yochanan really say that?" Doesn't Rabbi Yochanan say that if he says, "I divorced my wife," we do believe him? And the answer is like Kasha, Kan Lama Freya, Kan Lama Bo. There's a difference between whether he's saying that do we believe him about the past? Do we believe him, for example, so he's saying that he comes to us in Iyar and says, "I divorced my wife back in Nisan." That wouldn't mean that we would consider her Megureshes L'mafreya. So now, in other words, let's say Edom come and say that we saw her being Mazana in the middle of Nisan. We wouldn't accept his statement that I divorced her already Rosh Chodesh Nisan to say that therefore she's Potter from Misa. So because there's no migri, he can't say now in ear that I'm going to write a get that retroactively is going to divorce her back in Nisan. It doesn't work that way, so there's no migri. As opposed to Lahabba, to say that from now on, he's saying Dirashti Asishti, or even if it was just now, then fine. All it means is Mikano Lahabba, as far as Znus, as far as Yibum, or whatever. So fine, there he has a migri, he could divorce her now, and therefore we can accept it for the future. So that's the difference. So now we have the question. Fine, what about a case where he says that it was l'mafreya, where Rabbi Yochanan says we don't believe him, but at least we believe him l'habba. So say, for example, again, he comes to us in Iyar and says, I divorced my wife in Nisan. We're saying we don't accept that as far as if she was Mazana in Nisan. What about, though, at least do we accept it and so far as that it'll apply from Iyar and on? So meaning, if she were to be Mazana later in Iyar, we would accept what he says and she wouldn't be Chayiv Misa, or would we say, once we don't believe him about previously about Nisan, then we don't believe him about Iyar and about from Iyar and on either.
So right now, the even part left would drop it.
So we're saying, in other words, that, yeah, we believe him to say Lahabba, we believe him to say, well, so when he says Gerashti es Ishti, then he has a migri because he could divorce her now. Therefore, if he's saying Gerashti es Ishti and she's Potter from Yibum, then fine. But now, if he says Gerashti es Ishti Mafreya, if he says now in Iyar, I divorced my wife in Nisan, we're not going to believe him because he doesn't have the migri. He can't say, well, now I have the ability to write a get that will divorce her as of Nisan. It doesn't work. But now the question is, fine, we're not going to believe him as far as Nisan, but are we going to believe him Lahabba? So yeah, would his wife now be Potter from Yibum, and would she be Potter from Nisa, etc.? The question is, Mahu Lehimune, would we believe him? Mahu Lehimune Lahabba, can we believe him for the future? Ki mi pauginin dibura, do we say that we divide up what he said? What we're saying is we can't believe him as far as Nissen, but we can believe him as far as Iyar and onward. Or Loi Pogin and Dibura, or maybe we don't do that. Once we say that we don't believe him in Lamafreya, then we don't believe him in Lahaba either. So the Gemara says Rav Mori v'Rav Zvid. So Rav Mori and Rav Zvid argue about that. Chad Oma Pauginen v'chad Oma Loi Pauginen. One of them says we could divide up what he says. We can say that we can say that we don't believe him as far as Nissen, and therefore we don't believe him, and therefore we don't believe him, and therefore we don't believe him for the future. The Rashbam explains, in other words, according to the Svara, that Loi Pogin and Dibura, the point is, in other words, again, we can't believe him because he can't do it. So therefore, so now he's only saying that I did it in the past. He's not saying that I divorced her now. So how could we taina for him something that he himself is not saying? Where's the opinion that Pogin and Dibura would say that the opinion that says Pogin and Dibura would say that would say that that doesn't matter. The fact is that it doesn't matter as far as Lashavar, but at least Lahaba we should believe him. Mali the Shaker, why should he lie? He could divorce her now. So the Mori v'Rav Zvid Chadam and Pogin and Chadam Loi Pogin. Well, the Gemara asks my Shnama de Rava. In that case, if we're going to say Loi Pogin and if we're going to say that we don't split it up. Once he's not believed the Sha'avar, then we don't believe him Lahaba either. Then why is that different than a din that Rava said? Now, to be sure, the Gemara can answer very simply. That opinion disagrees with Rava. One point is the halacha is like Rava, and therefore we would like that we would like that this opinion over here should fit according to him. That's the Tosfos Reed explains it that way. The Chavis Yer explains differently. He says, "Faker, the Gemara evidently holds that Loi Pogin and Dibura, we can't split it up. So the question is then why in a different case do we pass them like Rava that we could split it up? So De Omar Rava, Ish Ploini Baal Ishti, a person comes to Beis Din and says that Ploini was Mezana with my wife, Hu Va'acha Mitztarfin Lahor Goy, then that husband, together with somebody else, can combine together as two Edim to get that guy executed. But Lahor Goy, only to have him executed, V'loy Lahor Ga, but not to have her executed because he's possible to give Edus on her because she's his wife. So we see, therefore, that Pauginin Dibura. So we see that we take what he said, even though necessarily, if she's not involved, then there's no chiyuv mista for the other guy either. But we're still taking his address and splitting it in half and accepting part of it and ignoring part of it. The answer is betray gufi palginin. When it comes to two different gufim, we could split it up. You have the boil versus the isha. So we're saying you have a complete address about the boil. You can't have the address about the isha because he's her husband. Fine. To that extent, we can split it up. B'chad gufa like palginin. Well, when it comes to one goof, we can't split it up, and therefore we can say that. Therefore, we can say that that once we say, once he's saying, according to this opinion, that we can't believe him on the sha'over that he divorced her previously, that because he doesn't have that migri, then therefore he doesn't have the ability to say la'ba either. So therefore, in that case, we would say loy palgin, and we can't split it up. Once we discount what he's saying la'sha'over, then we also have to discount it la'ba. So again, so if he says, I divorced my wife without specifying, then we said he has a migri because he could divorce her now. But if he says, I divorced my wife last month and he doesn't have a migri now because he can't now make a get that would have her divorced last month, therefore, so we're saying that we don't believe in the sha'avar for sure not. So if she was Mizana and Nissen, no question, she's Chayav Misa. If she's Mizana and Iyar and on, or if she's going to be Chayav and Yibum from Iyar and on, there you have this machlokas of Mori and Rizvin.
All again, all speaking that there's no coil and there's no get.
So we're talking about that. Yeah, if he had a get, yeah, if there exists a get with a coil or whatever, then that's all different. Yeah. Okay. So the point is, in other words, so that's that. So the but the point is though that is why in our Mishnah when he says Yeshli Ben Naaman, because it's based on that he has a migri that he could have said instead that he divorced her. And why do we believe him? That he divorced her in the past, and she's also not chayiv and yibum. So now, when he's saying, "I didn't divorce her, but she's not chayiv and yibum for a different reason, because I have a son," then naman.
That's the mikra.
That's right. As opposed to our Mishnah had said, if he says, "I have a brother," so our Mishnah had said, "Ain a naman as far as Yerusha," which we're going to take up in the Gemara tomorrow. What the situation is over there? But yeah, but in so far as him saying, "I have a brother." Say therefore, my wife is chayiv and yibum. So as the Gemara has said earlier, there's a difference between whether there's a difference whether the, we didn't know yet whether he had any son, whether he had any brothers or sons, and therefore by default we would have said his wife is potter from yibum because there's nobody available to do yibum with her. Now all of a sudden he says that I have a now all of a sudden he has a brother. So we don't believe him because that would be taking her out of her chazakah. as opposed to when we know that when we know that he has a, that he has a, that when we know that he has brothers, and now he's taking her out of her chazaka and saying I have sons, and therefore she's potter from Yibum, he's also believed on the basis of this migri.
There's like two things working for him
So
there
yeah.
without the brother. Now, but again, if there's people who know, yes, he's a brother,
If people, if he already has people that know he's his brother, there's no chiddush that he's saying he's his brother, yeah.
and then he believes.
And then, yeah.
Then,
Well, so then, like this, we knew before that he has a brother, so we knew he doesn't have any children. He's going to have, his wife is going to have to go for Yibum or Chalitza. So then fine, unless he comes and says at some point, Zebni, then unless he finds that he has a son after all, then yeah, his wife is going to need Chalitza or Yibum, yeah.
in other words, if other people do know a whole time that it was a brother, then her chazaka,
Then she has a chazaka already that she's chayiv in Yibum, yeah. But even so, if he says Zebni, we're still going to believe him even against that chazaka because of the migrid, because of Yod Elagasha, because he has the ability to divorce her, yeah.
wow.
Okay. Yeshakoyach, everyone. And yeah, so the